that Uqima Nimsa'im, we are in the days of the Ben HaMetzarim. According to Rabbeinu Ari, the Ben HaMetzarim are 21 days from Shiva'asar B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. Even though if you count from the 17th of Tammuz to Tisha B'Av, it's actually 22 days. But for whatever reason, Rabbeinu Ari doesn't count Tisha B'Av. He says that itself is a holiday. It's a mu'ed. And these 21 days are designated as the yearly mourning period for the Hurban Beit HaMikdash and the Hurban of Yerushalayim and the death of the Tzaddikim. Although the Halakha says we're supposed to remember this every day, but we concentrate it more pronounced during the 21 days. The Gemara in Yoma is looking for the reason of the destruction. This is from the prophet Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah says, Alma avda ha'aris. For what purpose? What was the reason? What's the root of why the land was destroyed? So it says they asked this question to Hachamim. They asked this question to Nevi'im, and they were not able to get a clear answer what the reason was. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down himself, and he answered the question of Yirmiyah, Alma Avda Ha'ares, and he said, Al Ovdam Et Torati, Al Ozbam Et Torati. He said, because they left my Torah. The Gemara in Nidarim is struggling to understand what does it mean they left the Torah. If you look at the history in the times of the first Beit HaMikdash, they were studying Torah. There was learning. There was yeshivot. Maybe there was other sins. There was Avodah Zarah a lot. There was Shefichut Damim. There was a lot of murder. There was immorality. But Torah there was. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, the reason why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed was Al Ozbam Et Torati. It was a lax in the study of Torah. That's why the prophets didn't figure it out, because they saw people learning. They saw students. It's like if somebody would come in our generation and they would say, what's the avon of this generation? And somebody would say, Al Ozbam Et Torati, they're not studying Torah. They're not studying Torah. Last summer we had almost 100,000 people finishing the Talmud, Shas, and the Siyuma Shas. I don't know if in any other generation except in the generation of Har Sinai, you had 100,000 people in one place celebrating finishing of Shas, and then someone would come along and say, no, there's no Torah in our generation, there's no Torah. Go to the yeshivot. We have yeshivot today that have 5,000-6,000 students in one building. Or in one institution. Yeshivot like this, we didn't have in a long, long time, in centuries. Today there's yeshivot, there's kolelim, there's a resurgence of the study of Torah. Go to the bookstores. Look how many books there are available to study of Torah. Look how many shiurim there are available. And if somebody would come along and say, yes, the avon in this generation is Al Ozbam Et Torati. Say, Al Ozbam Et Torati? We're living in a Renaissance period. And that's how odd it was in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, when God came along and said, Al Ozbam Et Torati, Al Ozbam Et Torati. Look how many people are studying Torah. So the Gemara answers that you're right, they were studying Torah. They were learning. They had a book in front of them, and they were learning, like we're learning. But what? There was something fundamental that was missing in their learning. The Gemara says, Shelo birchu batorah tehila. They did not make Birkat HaTorah. You know, in the morning, in the Birkot HaShachar, there's a blessing that we make. Asher Kedeshanu, Bemesotah, Vesivanu, Al Devre Torah, Ve'arevna. Asher b'harvanu mikol ha'amim v'natan torato. This beracha they didn't say. And this is the reason that the Gemara says that ultimately brought to a destruction. And I am perplexed. Of course you have to make Birkat HaTorah. But if you don't, that brings a destruction. Simple question. A lady lights Nerot Shabbat. You ladies can relate to this. You light Nerot Shabbat on Friday night. What's the halakha if you didn't make a beracha? You forgot to make the beracha, or for whatever reason you didn't make a beracha. Do you fulfill the mitzvah or not? Of course you fulfill the mitzvah. If a man puts on tefillin, and he didn't make a beracha, he fulfills the mitzvah. The berachot are a preparation for the mitzvah. Imagine a lady comes, and she says, Asher kedeshanu v'mesotav v'sivanu l'hadlik ne'er shel Shabbat. And then she walks away. That's not the mitzvah to make the barakah. The mitzvah is the action. So I agree that it's a problem that they didn't make the Birkat HaTorah. But the main thing is that they're learning. The main thing is they had a book in front of them and they were reading. So you're right. They should have made Birkat HaTorah. I don't say no. But for that you destroy the world, you destroy the Beit HaMikdash. To me it seems something very technical. It seems something very small. Something that's not worthy of a consequence of such a magnitude. So for this, we need to open up the Sefarim so they give us a deep understanding. What I'm going to tell you over today is the opinion of a rabbi called Bayit Hadash. They call him the Bach. Bach Bayit Hadash. Why do they call him Bayit Hadash? Bayit Hadash means the new house. Why do they call a rabbi new house? His name wasn't new house. Why do they call him Bayit Hadash? There was a great rabbi, our rabbi, Maran, Rabbi Yosef Karo. Everybody knows Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote a book called Shulchan Aruch, the law book. But he wrote another book called Bet Yosef. And in this book called Bet Yosef, he explains all the details of Jewish law. It's like an encyclopedia on Jewish law. He goes through every single halakha from all the Gemariot, and he expounds, and he gives interpretation. This book of Bet Yosef is the one of the most important authoritative books on halakha, on Jewish law. And after he wrote the book, everybody studied it. But the book itself is so deep that it needs a pirush. So many rabbis after the Bet Yosef wrote books explaining the Bet Yosef. So when this rabbi called Bach, when he wrote his book, it was a commentary on the Bet Yosef. So he called it Bayit Hadash. It's the new house. First we have the Bet Yosef, the house of Yosef. And now I'm going to write Bayit Hadash. I'm going to write a new house to explain the Bet Yosef. In Mem Zayin, in Siman Mem Zayin, he says a very, very great chiddush. But in order to understand what he's saying, we need some introductions. The introductions that I'm telling you today are essential. It's almost aleph bit. And what I'm going to tell you now is so basic, and as basic as it is, that's how many people don't know about it. It's like what Rabbi Moshe Haim Lutzato writes in the beginning of his Mesilat Yesharim. He says, I'm going to tell you things that are elementary. I'm going to write you things that are such fundamental information. He said, but because they're so simple, many people neglect it, and they don't even take time to delve on it. Everybody knows that we're created from two parts. We have a goof, and we have neshama. The goof is the physical body. The neshama is something that's spiritual. We cannot see it. But that shouldn't worry anybody. Because there's a lot of things that exist even though you can't see it. if a plane flies through the clouds, you don't see it. But nobody argues that it's there. Today they're able to see the waves, radio waves, and X-rays, and the different waves that are flying through the atmosphere. So there is a spiritual energy. This energy is called neshama. I've told you many times, it rests over here, right in this section of the brain. This is where the neshama rests. That's why the men every morning put on tefillin. They put the box of the tefillin exactly on the spot where the neshama is. This neshama, what is it? Where does it come from? And how do we maintain it? The neshama is called Helek Elokami Ma'al. It's a piece of God that comes from above. The neshama doesn't come from this earth. The neshama is something which is spiritual that comes from a very high place, from the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a great Or. Now when I say Or, which is light, it's only an example. God is not a light. We cannot give an interpretation of what God is, but the most spiritual element that we have in the world today is light. It's something that's, you cannot touch it, it's not tangible. So whenever we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say he's Or, Or Elyon. But don't think that God is actually a light, because then we're saying he's something. And we have no understanding of what God is. I'm just saying it as a mashal. So God has a light, if I could say a mashal like this. Picture the sun. So the sun casts rays. If we're walking in the street today, we see it's light. You can't touch the light, but you know it's there. You can't carry it, you can't feel it, but everybody knows it's light. Where does the light come from? So there's an origin, it's the Shemesh. That sun casts very strong rays, and the rays are so strong that they can travel 96 million miles away, and we're able to feel it, we're able to sense it. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Or Elyon, and he casts a great light. The Zohar HaKadosh calls this Shefa. Shefa is an influence, or an energy. And that energy is connected to Am Yisrael. The way we're wired is that we're able to receive this Or. It's the rays of God Himself that are inside of us. That means everybody who's Yehudi, who has Neshama, has this charge, this voltage, that's connected to the upper worlds. Now, it is possible that a person could have a neshama, but he doesn't feel that he has a neshama. You know what it's like? If somebody would come along and go into his bedroom and close all the shades and block out all the sunlight. So even though the rays are coming down, but since it's blocked by a shade, the rays cannot penetrate. So somebody would come along and say, I don't feel any light, I don't feel any sun. No, the sun is there, the rays are there, but you blocked it. Unfortunately, many people don't feel spirituality because they're blocking it. There's something that's interfering with it. So we have to figure out a way to move away the blockage, the vilon, the curtain, in order that that light should come inside of us, and that we should feel it. How do we do this? So I'm going to tell you. There's only one way to feel the neshama and to charge it. It's not by doing yoga. This will not do anything for the neshama. Nor taking hallucinating drugs. Even though some people say they feel very spiritual when they take drugs. And they feel very high. But this is synthetic, it's fake, it does not have a true spiritual nature. The Zohar HaKadosh writes three words. Yisrael, Be'oraita, Kutshabirichu, Hadhu. There are three items that are all considered one. The Jewish people is called Yisrael. Oraita is the Torah. And Kutshabirichu is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hadhu. They're all one. I'm sorry to tell you, most people do not understand the Zohar properly. They say it over in yeshiva. Israel, Kutshabirichu, Israel, Oraita, Kutshabirichu, Hadhu. It's all one. What does it mean, one? I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a human being. How can I be one with God? And what does it mean? I am the Torah. I'm not the Torah. The Torah is a book. How can it tell me that all these three things are equal? I could tell you, 6 + 1 = 7. This is equal. They're the same. But I cannot tell you that Jewish people equals Torah, and Torah equals God. It's not equal. These are three different items. They're not connected to each other seemingly. A Jew is a human being, a Torah is a book, and God is God. And the Zohar comes along with a shocking statement and puts them all together. This equals this, and this equals this. So I'm going to explain it to you. What it means that Israel is equal to Kutshabirichu, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down His Or into Am Yisrael. And therefore, in truth, every single Jew inside of him has this Or Ruhani, this spiritual light of Kutshabirichu. So yes, if you take a human being, Lehavdil, Hasb Shalom, and you take an autopsy, and they have very sophisticated machines, one of the parts of the body they'll find is a light. They say, what is this here? This is God. This is the light of God that's inside of you. So yes, Yisrael and Kutshabirichu are equal. We have something in common. We both have, just like if I would say, the rays of the sun equals the sun. It's true. It's the same, ingredients. It's the same properties. Good. So I connected Yisrael to Kutshabirichu. But what's the Torah? Torah is a book. This is the mistake. The Torah is not a book. The Torah is a spiritual entity like a malach, like an angel. The Zohar HaKadosh says just like there's a Torah on earth, there's a Torah in heaven. And it says that the Torah goes to God and petitions for Am Yisrael. The Torah tells God, look at the people, they're learning, they're studying, they're doing mitzvot. Just like an angel would petition for Am Yisrael, the Torah is a certain energy of power, more powerful than all the malachim. The malachim are very powerful. One malach was able to destroy the whole city of Sodom. To go destroy the city of Sodom, today you need an army. One angel could destroy the whole place. The Torah is the strongest of all these entities. It's something ruhani. Of course, our Torah is a book. I understand. It's physical. But I'm talking about the Torah and the Shamayim. That's a power. Whatever I'm telling you today is not my own Torah. It's all written in Zohar and the holy books. Adir Bamarom. I'm not so imaginative to make this stuff up. So the Zohar Kadosh writes, God is a great light. Sometimes when people go in the street, they cannot look at the sun, it's too bright. But they want to enjoy the sun. So you need sunglasses. What does the sunglasses do? It allows me to receive the sun without getting damaged. You need an in-between, you need a buffer. You need an intermediary. So you're right, Yisrael and Kutshabirichu. But how does Yisrael connect to Kutshabirichu? Exactly, the Oraita. The Torah is the only way for us to connect to this great light. When I say Torah, I mean studying of Torah, which is the highest level, and then of course the performance of the mitzvot. No other way can we connect. So therefore the Oraita, incidentally the word Oraita, which we call Torah, is Or. Oraita is coming from the word Or. The only way to us to connect Yisrael to Kodesh Baruch Hu is through the Oraita, through the study of Torah. That means, every time we study Torah, every time we do a mitzvot, automatically there's electricity. Lavdil, if you take a plug, and you have a light, and you're turning the light on, nothing's going. They say, well, you didn't plug it in, you have to plug it in. So you plug it in, you turn it on, nothing. So you have to go downstairs to the box. Maybe the circuit is broken. And all of a sudden you fix the circuit, boom, there's a connection. There's a chibur. Once there's a chibur, there's or. That means any time we're studying Torah like we're doing now, you're plugged in. Now all of a sudden that light, it's like you open the blinds. Now you open the blinds, the light is able to come in, and it won't damage you, you won't short circuit. The light is able to come in and fill the neshama. If you do this long enough, and there's another kavanah which I'm going to have to teach you, but if you do this long enough, eventually you'll start to feel the neshama that's inside of you. This is what the great books call divikut. Maybe you heard of this terminology. Divikut is attaching yourself to God. The only way you can attach yourself to God, I want you to know, there's no greater pleasure in this world than divikut. Those, I would say tzaddikim, but you don't have to be a tzaddik. Those people that have merited to reach this level where they feel attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no greater pleasure, there's no greater sensation. It's euphoria, it's ecstatic. This is the greatest addiction. The people are wasting their time. They think they have a little pleasure from a drink, or they have a little pleasure from rolling dice, or taking some drugs. This is for kids. The highest level of pleasure that the tzaddikim have is divikut in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing more pleasing. I knew a rabbi called Rav Chaim Brim. He used to tell us about another great rabbi called Rabbi Haskel Abramsky. And he would show him, he would say like this. He would say, the rabbi would say to us, Rabbi Haskel would take his fingers like this. He would put his thumb next to his pointer finger. And he would say, you see how close my thumb is to my pointer finger? You see how close this is? I feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than this. How could you be closer? There's nothing. He felt closer. And when the rabbi Yehazkel had his heart attack, Rav Chaim Brim went to visit him. When he went to visit the rabbi was bitzad. He was in anguish. So he told him, Rabbi, are you in discomfort? Are you in pain? He says, I'm not in physical pain. He says, so what's bothering you? He says, when I had my event, the attack, for a few seconds I lost the debekut. And it bothered him. To the tzaddikim, there's nothing worse than losing the attachment, and there's nothing greater than connecting, disconnecting. He would tell us, Rav Chaim Brim, many times, he would ask us in the shi'ur, boys, in Lashon HaKodesh he spoke, he says, do you know what Apollo is? Apollo's a spaceship. We didn't believe that he knew what it was. He says, I'll tell you something about the Apollo. When it landed on the moon, so the Space Center, wherever it was in Houston, they were trying to make a connection to the astronauts on the moon. And they didn't have connection in the beginning. And if you looked at the people in the space station, it was Chabiav. They couldn't believe it. They sent these people all the way to the moon and they're not able to communicate. And you saw everybody was down and everybody was upset and despondent. And all of a sudden, they hear coming out of the computer a response. He said, if you saw the people in the space station, they started jumping for joy. It is why? Because they had a connection. He says, that's the same thing with the tzaddikim, that they have a kesher. Again, if you never experienced it, then you cannot... I cannot describe it. But it's possible when you feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you feel attached. ואתם הדבקים באדוני אלוהיכם, חיים כולכם היום. But the only way to attach yourself to this, God's fire, God's אש אוכלה. You cannot go into the fire unless you have a protective suit on. Otherwise, God forbid, the fire is too strong. So the buffer in between Yisrael and Kodesh Berichu is Oraita. When you start studying Torah, you're plugging in. Now all of a sudden, electricity. All of a sudden, there's a shefa coming into the neshama. When you leave a shi'ur of Torah, your neshama is not the same neshama. You're never the same when you came in. Again, you can jump on the scale after the class. It's going to be the same way. I'm not talking about that. You're not going to be heavier because you went to a shiur. Now you have more orot than neshama. The orot are weightless. But if you would take a spiritual microscope and then look at the neshama before the shiur and after the shiur, say, wow, you went from a 50 watt bulb, now you're 10,000 watts. But there's more to say. I'm trying to make it easy. Although these are written in very, very deep books, but at least so amateurs like us, myself the first, we can understand it on an easy level. But again, you must know these concepts. Which is right now, we're connecting. That means the Torah is like a tzinor, it's like a pipe. I can have a person, and I can have water. But the water is in the reservoir. It's far away. And the person's over here is thirsty. So I have to figure out a system where I can create a pipe from the reservoir to the person, and now I benefit. But without the pipe, then the person dehydrates. So the pipe, the tzinor of the shefa, is oraita, is the Torah. So every time we do Torah mitzvot, we're connecting a pipe to the upper worlds, and now all of a sudden, two things happen. I have to say two things happen. The holy books say, one thing happens milemata lemala, and then something happens milemala lemata. Explain to you what it means. First, we connect from down to up. Now we're connected. And then once we connect, like Kadosh Baruch Hu sends down to the pipe, from up to down, upgrades to our neshama. I'll tell you what the Ben Ish Chai says. See, this is why it's very important when people come along and tell you that they feel very spiritual when they're doing other things besides Torah, that's a fake. It cannot be. It's just like if somebody's very, very thirsty and they're in the desert, and you give the person $1 million. He says, what am I going to do with $1 million? And if somebody would come along and say, you know what? This $1 million, I'm not thirsty anymore. Well, you're not thirsty anymore. Well, you're not thirsty anymore. There's only one thing that can quench your thirst, and that's water. Anything else, if you tell the guy, listen, we don't have any water. How about I give you a diamond? Hey, give me all the diamonds in the world. But if somebody comes along and says, you know something? For me, I feel satiated from a diamond. I don't have to drink water. You're a liar. It cannot be. So if somebody comes along and says, for me, spirituality is, you know, drawing art. And for me, it's just walking in the street, listening to music. It cannot be. Just like you cannot give nutrients to the body unless you follow the food rules, the spiritual can only receive its nutrients from Torah and Mitzvot. David HaMelech said in Tehilim, before I get to the Ben Ish Chai, David HaMelech said in Tehilim, Ke'ayal ta'arog al afike ma'im, ken nafshi ta'arog elecha Elohim. Samea nafshi le'el chai. What does he mean? You know what ayal is? Ayal is like a deer or gazelle. He says, Ke'ayal ta'arog alafi kemayim. Just like you have a gazelle in the desert. And the gazelle, the deer, is very thirsty. And all of a sudden, it sees afikemayim. It sees water. And it runs to the water and it starts to drink. What water does to a thirsty ayal, ken nafshi, my soul. Ta'arog elecha Elohim, my soul craves to you, God. Tame'a nafshi, my soul is thirsty. And just like you can give, you can tell the ayal, listen, we don't have any water, but we have something else for you. What do you have for me? We'll make you the President of the United States. President of the United States. What am I going to benefit? I'm thirsty. We're the President of the United States. Listen, you take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. I'll leave it. I need water. David HaMelech says the same thing. Same'an nafshi l'Elohim. I'm thirsty, and the only place that can crave my soul thirst is Elohim, is the religion, is Torah Mitzvot. You cannot get it from anywhere else. Anywhere else is fake, is synthetic. It's falsehood. So the Ben Yishai says, a remez to this. Yisrael, how much is Yisrael equal? Well, we can figure it out ourselves. Yud is 10. And Sin is 300. So that's 310. And Resh is 200. So that's 510. You're too fast for me. That's 510. And then Aleph Lamed is 31. So 510 and 31 is 541. That's Israel. Now you know how much Israel equals. 541. That's Israel. And then you have Kutsha Berichu. God. What's God's name? Yud Ke Vav Ke. Now, the holiest configuration of Yud Ke Vav Ke is the name of God that equals 72. How could it equal 72? So you take the Yud, you write Yud Vav Dalet. Yud. Yud Vav Dalet is 20. Vav is Vav Yud Vav. You just put Yuds there. So Vav Yud Vav is 22. And then, so you have 20 and 22. And then you have Yud He, or He. He is He Yud. So that's 15. And then you have another He, because there's two He's, Yud Ke Vav Ke. So if you add 20 plus 15 times 2 plus 30 plus 22 equals 72. Yud Ke Vav Ke B'Milui Yudin. Yud Vav Dalet, He Yud, Vav Yud Vav, He Yud. So he says, Israel is 542. And Kutsha Berichu is 72. And therefore, 541 I mean. 541 and 72 is how much? 613. Very good. That's Oraita. That's the Torah. So Israel on one side, 541. Kutsha Berichu on the other side, 72. What does that equal? Oraita, which is 613, which is right in the middle. That's the only way to connect through the Taryag Mitzvot. Yisrael is able to reach Kutsha Berichu. No other way. And that's what David HaMelech meant. Now, all this is good. All this is nice. That's why a good deed, we call a good deed a mitzvah. Where did they get this word mitzvah from? I don't know, mitzvah. Mitzvah comes a Hebrew word. It's a tzivuy, a commandment. A mitzuveh, a commander. But the Zohar HaKadosh says, no, the word mitzvah is a very holy word. It's Kodesh, this word. Because anytime you do a mitzvah, you're connecting to Yudke Vavke. That's why the last two letters of the word mitzvah is Vavheh. The same last letters of God's name, Vavheh. So I know what you're going to say. Yeah, but where's the Yudheh? Where's the Yud here? So the Yud here isn't the Mem Tzaddi, it's Yud here. How is Mem Tzaddi Yud here? Matz. So I'm going to teach you now what the rabbis call Atbash. You know, I taught this already, I think. The Aleph is connected to the Taf. You take the first letter and you switch it with the last letter. I didn't make this up either. This is what the Zohar HaKadosh says. That the Hebrew alphabet has many different Listen, you can't do that in English. A, Z, and then B, Y. Doesn't work like that. But in alphabet, there's Atbash. So it means At, Bash, Gar, At, Bash, Gar, and then Dak, Hats, or Hats, Hetzadi, Hetzadi. So in the word mitzvah, the tzaddi is connected to hair. So now put a hair over there. And the mem, continue going on, hats, then you got vaf, vaf peh, and then you have zayin, that's za, zayin ayin, and then you have chet. What's before the ayin? Samich, so you have zas, zas, and then you have chet. Chet, you have unun, is han, and then you have yud, is keneged the mem. Oh, so therefore mitzvah, the mem of mitzvah is a yud. So actually mitzvah is yud ke vavke. So why don't we call it yud ke vavke? Because we can't, then you won't be able to say, I want to go do a mitzvah. You know, I want to go do a yud ke vavke. It's a shame name. So they made, the last two letters they kept, and the first two letters, matz, it's atbash of yud ke. Because it's coming to teach you that every time you do a mitzvah, you're connected to Yud Ke Vav Ke. Now I'm going to tell you what the Arizal says. He asks a question. The Pasuk says in the Torah, when God is talking, God says, Zeshemi le'olam. This is my name, Zeshemi. V'zeh zichri ledor vador. This is my name and this is my memory for the generations. So the Arizal says, or Zohar says, what do you mean? What does it mean? Shemi, Zichri, well, this is esoteric. This is my name, this is my memory. What do those words mean? He says, if you take the word Shemi, Shemi is Shin Mem Yud. It's 350. Well, we have 365 negative commandments. But this is Shemi, is only 350. So he says, if you take the Yud Ke, the first two letters of God's name, which equals 15, and you add Yud Ke to Shemi, now you have 365. So God says, Zeh Shemi, take my name. Take my name, Yud Ke, add it to the word Shemi of 365, that's connected to Mitzvot Lo Ta'aseh. And Zichri is how much? Zayin, Chaf, Resh, is 227 plus a yud is 237. Add the vav here, which is 11 to 237, you have 248. That's connected the 248 positive commandments. So God says, Zeh Shemi v'zeh Zikri. Shemi, add yud ke, bingo, you have 365. Zikri, 237, add the vav here, bingo. You have ramach, you have the 248. That's the Zohar HaKadosh says. Now I tell you the question of Rabbeinu Ari. Tell me you heard this already. I'll go back telling you stories from the fairy tale books. These are the deep concepts that I want to teach you today. If we're driving in already from Deal, we might as well make it worth our effort to talk things that are on a Rama, on a level. Zeh Shemi v'zeh Zichri. And you answer the following question. In the letters Yudke Vavke, which two are a higher level? Yudke or Vavke? Yudke. Simple. Yudke, because it's the beginning. It's the beginning. That's Pashut. The earlier the letters are in the name, the higher they are. Very simple. Answer another question. Which is a higher level? A positive commandment or a negative commandment? It's clear, a positive commandment. The Gemara actually says, Aseh dochei lo ta'aseh. That a positive commandment can actually break a negative commandment. For example, on Shabbat it says, you cannot do melacha. But there's a positive commandment that says, you have to do Brit Milah. Brit Milah Shabbat. The positive overrides the Shabbat. So you see, a positive commandment is a higher level. So the Rabbeinu Ari asked a simple question. The positive, you have 237. Which letters did you add to the positive? Vav heh. 11, you got 248. Shemi, you had 350, which is the negative commandments. You added Yudke. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Yudke is the higher level. You should add Yudke to the positive commandments. Why is Yudke connected to the negative commandments? This is his question. I'll tell you what he answers. And this is the crux of the shi'ul today. There's two parts of every mitzvah. There's the action, which is the main part of the mitzvah. And then there's the kavana. That's the mahshava. That's the thought. It's not enough just to do the action. Mitzvot tzrichot kavana. When you do a mitzvah, you need to have kavana. You shouldn't do it robotically or mechanically or just from routine. When you're about to do a mitzvah, the tzaddikim say, "V'hi no'am adonu ayinu alenu ma'asiyadiku na'anu ma'asiyadiku l'shem yahut kushabari kushkite." They have kavana. So he says like this. The first two letters of God's name is Yudke. Yudke is in the brain. The Yud is Chokhmah and the He is Binah. The Yudke is the part of the mitzvah of the Mahshava. The Vav He represents the lower part of the body where the action is. And therefore there's always two parts of a mitzvah. There's the Yudke of the mitzvah and the Vavke. Yudke is over here. And then the Vavke is in the body. You need both. You need both. But I have to be honest with you. If a boy comes to me and says, "Rabbi, I put on tefillin today, but I didn't have kavanah." Did he fulfill the mitzvah? He did. He did. You can't say he didn't. He did. Did he fulfill the mitzvah in the best way? Absolutely not. But he did. If somebody took a lulav, he shook the lulav. And the rabbi, I just picked it up, I wasn't thinking of anything. I sat in the sukkah, I didn't know anything. I just sat, you did the mitzvah. Because the main part of positive commandments is the action. The machshava is important, but it doesn't break the mitzvah. But imagine a person says, "Rabbi, you're going to be very proud of me. I hear what happened. This morning I was thinking about the tefillin the whole morning." "Yeah, and then what did you do?" "Nothing, and then I went to sleep." "You just thought about it, thinking of nothing." The mitzvot, that's what we call it, mitzvot aseh. Mitzvot aseh means, you gotta go do it. Machshava, you add. But if you don't have a ma'aseh, then the machshava is nothing. You need to attach a machshava. You know what the machshava is like? The machshava is like salt and pepper. A person comes along and says, "What's for dinner?" "Salt and pepper." "Salt and pepper? Salt and pepper and what?" "That's it. So you said you like salt and pepper. Here's salt and pepper." "I like salt and pepper on my food." "Give me food, then the salt and pepper is good. But just to give me the seasonings without salt, without food, what is it worth?" That's why a positive commandment we call mitzvah. Because the vav is the main part, which is the action. The yudke, we don't even put, we call it mem tzadi. We don't have to write yudke, because we can put the first two letters beremez. Because the first two letters, the yudke, as important as it is, it's not integral. The main thing is the vav here, the deed. However, when it comes to a negative commandment. Now, a negative commandment, you're not doing anything. Negative commandment, you're sheb al ta'aseh, you're not doing anything. There, the main thing is the kavana, because there's no action in the negative commandment. For example, if a person is very hungry, and they walk by a restaurant that's taref, when does he get the mitzvah of not eating taref? Bidiyuk. When he walks by and he says to himself, "I'm very hungry, But you know what? I'm not going to eat it. The whole mitzvot lo ta'ase is in the thought. But if a person walks by and says, you know something, I would go eat there, but it's closed. So you're not going to get credit. I didn't go. Of course you didn't go because it was closed, but you wanted to go. All the mitzvot lo ta'ase is in the brain. A person, for example, has the urge to talk lashon hara. And then in his brain he's thinking to himself, oh, this is not right to speak to lashon hara. And he doesn't do anything. What does he get credit for? He didn't do anything. He gets credit for the thought. In negative commandments, it's all in the thought. But if a person says, I really want to speak lashon hara, I don't have anything. I don't have any lashon hara to speak. I don't have any information. I don't have hadushim. You're not going to get credit. But I didn't speak. You didn't speak because you don't have any hadushim. That's not going to get credit for that. So in the negative commandments, you need kavana. So Rabbeinu Ari says, that's why when it says, Zeshemi is 350. So we have to add the Yudke. The Yudke is the Machshava. The Yudke is added to 350 to make the 365. Because in the 365, the main thing is the Machshava. But in the 237, Zezichri, which is the positive commandments, the main thing is the Vavheh. The main thing is the 11, which is the Ma'aseh. And therefore, each one is perfect where it belongs. Zeshemiv is a Zikri. With this introduction, we can now go and explain what the Gaon Bayit Hadash said. Bayit Hadash said like this. When you sit down and study Torah, or do a mitzvah, there's a certain kavanah that you're supposed to have. What's the kavanah? That I am now sitting down to learn in order to connect my soul to the Or Elyon, in order to allow the Shefa to come down and influence me and influence the entire world. This is an integral kavanah. Now he writes, even if you don't have this kavanah, it happens by itself. When I turn on the light, even though I don't have kavanah, okay, I'm turning on the light, so the electricity will be connected. I don't have kavanah. I turn on the light, I'm not thinking of anything. The light bulb goes on. But when it comes to this, the Bach says, the more kavanah you have, the more your neshama will feel it. Now we're teaching you how to feel it. If you want to feel that electricity, every time you're about to do a mitzvah, you just think in your brain, I'm about to do the mitzvah, because Yisrael could shaberichu, so the orait I need to connect. And all of a sudden, the connection becomes more strong, it becomes more pronounced. He says, you know what happened in the times of the Beit HaMikdash? They were learning Torah, but they didn't say Birkat HaTorah, which means they didn't believe that Torah can connect you to the upper or. They looked at Torah like an algebra book. You take algebra, algebra doesn't connect you to any mathematician, doesn't connect you to any university, doesn't connect you to anything but what's written on the paper. A person doesn't come out of algebra and say, oh, wow, I feel elevated. I've had nothing. You got smarter, you feel mathematic, but you don't feel more spiritual. That's what the Bach said. Once they denied the fact that the Torah is a connector, the Torah to them was just information. Torah became a very interesting book to teach them right from wrong. But they didn't realize that this Torah is the connector. That means, say it in English. They studied Torah, but the Torah did not connect them. It did not bring them to Devekut. He says, and a Torah that doesn't bring them to Devekut, this is not a Torah. This is not a Torah of value. And therefore God said, they didn't make the Birkat HaTorah. By not making Birkat HaTorah, that showed them that they didn't believe it's a spiritual book. You don't make a Berakha before you study algebra. This is very important what I'm telling you. Because in our generation we have a lot of people studying Torah, but that's not enough. The Torah has to bring them to Devekut. We can have a lot of people learning, but the learning has to bring them to this attachment. And the only way that this attachment comes is when we sit down and study and we think before we're studying, before we go do chesed, we have to say to ourselves, I'm about to do this chesed, so it'll connect me to the upper worlds, and then once I'm connected, God will send down a shefa, and the shefa will come down to everybody else. You see, when the pipe is connected, you don't only benefit, everybody benefits. You see, when I go bring a pipe and connect it to my faucet, to the reservoir, now everybody that opens the faucet gets a drink. They say, hey, who connected it? I connected it. What the skill mitzvot, Azar Baruch. I benefited. Therefore, when we're studying Torah now, we're not only bringing shefa to our own neshamot, but you're bringing shefa to the entire world. You must know this. Like I know my name. Every time we sit and study and learn and do mitzvot, bar minnan, we are protecting the community from many gezerot ra'ot, from many sicknesses, from many troubles that otherwise would happen. When the Torah brings the shefa down, all the mekatregim, these are powers of evil, they cannot exist with this kedusha. Once they feel kedusha, they're about to do something bad, boom, they run away. The light is too great for them. They cannot tolerate this or. So you're not only doing yourself a favor by studying Torah, you're doing the whole world a favor. I once saw Brodan in Sefarim the following hadush. This hadush I saw from Rabbi Yaakov Ades, the great Mikubal. He said there's a Gemara in Yoma. You know the Gemara. There was a rabbi called Hillel. Hillel was a very poor man. He was a wood chopper. Every day he would make a dollar. 50 cents he gave his wife, and 50 cents he gave the yeshiva, because that was the entrance. Anytime you went to the class, you had to give 50 cents. So one day, he didn't sell any wood. So he didn't have money not to give his wife, and not to give the Shomer HaPetach. But he wants to learn Torah. So he came to the yeshiva, and the bodyguard, the guard in front, the bouncer, he tells him, 50 cents. I don't have 50 cents. Okay, I can't let you in. Now, obviously the bouncers, I'm an artist. Who are they going to put as the bouncer? Somebody that doesn't know how to learn. If he was anything, he'd be in the yeshiva learning. So they told him, don't let anybody in. Okay, don't let anybody in. And Hillel wasn't arrogant. He didn't say, oh, you know who I am, I'm Hillel. He didn't say anything, don't let me in. It was a cold, cold day. Erev Shabbat. He climbed up on the roof. And he went and he put his ears to the skylight. Now listen to the language of the Gemara. Kedei lishmoa divrei Elohim hayim yotzeh mipi rabotav shemaya v'avtalyon. He put his ear to the skylight in order to hear the words divrei Elohim hayim. And what happened? He froze. And all of a sudden they looked up and they see a body on the skylight. And they went down and they revived him. Eventually they gave him a free pass to enter the yeshiva. And they made him the president eventually. But Rav Yaakov Ades asked the question. He says, what does it mean, kedei lishmoa divrei Elohim hayim? You never see in the Gemara that the Gemara calls the Torah divrei Elohim hayim, the words of a living God. It should say, kedei lishmoa divrei Torah. Divrei Torah. What are you being so flowery? Divrei Elohim hayim, the words of a living God. Why would the Gemara use that language? So he said, what motivates a person to go up on a roof in the freezing cold, frostbite, to lie there and put your ear, it's the most uncomfortable, the most dangerous. What drives a person to do this? Would a person go on a roof in order to hear the history of the Mayas and the Incas and all the history of Mexico and all the Abu Dazara? A person wouldn't do it. But Hillel understood, this over here is Divrei Elohim Hayim. This connects me with the living God. And to be connected with the living God, I mean, he felt, it was an addiction. He felt the energy. So, lehavdil. This is a terrible example. But we see people, in order to satisfy an addiction, they do a lot of crazy things. A person will go to the end of the world in order to get a drug. A person will go to the end of the world to get a dollar so he can go gamble it. He'll do tremendous... People sell their body parts to get money to go fulfill an addiction. It's outrageous. Lehavdil alfei avdalot. Hillel, when he studied Torah, he felt the difficult. He felt that he was connected to Divrei Elohim Hayim, to a living God. When that's the payback, it's very easy to go on a roof. It's very easy to suffer the cold, because the reward is much greater than the pain. The gain is greater than the pain. That's why the Gemara, he says, uses the word Kedel Shmoa Divrei Elohim Hayim Mepishem Hayav Avtalion. The Gemara is giving us the motivation that drove Hillel to such an extent to put himself in such a position. And that's why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. That means you could learn Torah and you could study all you want, but if you're not studying in order for it to bring you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and if you don't believe that this is the only way to connect you, then Chas v'Shalom, the Torah will not protect anybody. The Shefa will not come down. And once the Shefa doesn't come down, the person, his neshama, will not be satisfied. Just like the body is malnutritioned, the neshama can be malnutritioned. There are many people that they're missing something in their life. They're missing. They don't know what they're missing, but they're missing something. So somebody says, you know something? I can't put my finger on it. So they take up golfing. They golf and they golf. They say, I'm still missing something. They take up tennis. And they take up every single sport. And after everything is said and done, there's a void. Because they don't realize that the neshama doesn't connect through tennis or through golf or through flipping cards or through rolling dice. The only way the neshama, just like you can't feed the body with plastic. The body needs food. You have to feed the body with the suitable food that it needs to exist. Similarly, the neshama. And the only food that the neshama can connect to is oraita. Israel ve'oraita kucha berichu. And that's what the Bach says why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, because the light wasn't coming down anymore. Because if you don't believe it, it doesn't work. Therefore, they sat down in front of the book. So you told them, what are you doing? I'm learning. Ah, you feel the or? What or? What or? There's no or, there's no nothing. It's a book. Ah, it's a book. Good luck. God says, shut the blinds. Shut the blinds. Once you shut the blinds, the or cannot penetrate. And once there's no shefa, then the world, chas v'shalom, all the dinim, and all the mar'in bishin, and all the satanim, and all the negative energies, they have a field day. Oh. This is the tikkun of Yemei ben HaMitzarim. The tikkun of Yemei ben HaMitzarim. If you're asking me for something practical, tell me something I can do practically to make a tikkun for these days. I'll tell you very simple. The tikkun in these days is to have this kavanah. Two kavanot. Anytime you come to a shi'ur, you don't have to say it, you can even think it. And you just say, I'm now about to do a mitzvah, that my neshama should be connected to the upper light. All of a sudden, bing, you open the blinds. That thought, it makes it 10 million times greater, the mitzvah. Not 10 times, 10 million times. Just for having this machshava. And the second kavanah is, and once I'm connected from the bottom to the top, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send down the shefa through this mitzvah, this pipe, and the tzinor is going to bring beracha to me and to everybody that's around me. I once heard from a great rabbi. There's a Mishnah we say every morning. The Mishnah is talking about certain mitzvot that we get the reward in this world for. Elu devarim shadam ose otam ve'ochel meperotem ba'olam hazeh ve'keren kayem odo le'olam haba. You do the mitzvot in this world, and you get the dividends in this world, and the reward is in the next, the principle. Ve'eluhem, kibud avim, honoring your mother and father. Kibud avim, hachnasat orchim, bikur cholim, havaat shalom ben adam lechavero, ben ish leishto, hashkamat bet hakneset, visiting the sick, inviting guests over, making peace between man and his friend, making shalom bayit between a man and his wife. What do all these things have in common? It's all chesed. Gemilut hasadim. Even waking up to the synagogue is chesed. Because if you go to the synagogue and there's only 9 people, they don't have a minyan. So when the 10th guy comes, oh, Baruch Abba, you saved us. So now when the 10th guy walks in, the first guy walks out, hey, we need you also. Everybody that comes to the minyan does chesed to the other guy. And even if there's 10 people, when the 11th guy comes, the mitzvah is much greater, because the more the merrier. So you're doing chasadim. So what do you see from this Mishnah? That the mitzvot, that you get reward in this world, all have to do with chesed. What's the last line of that Mishnah? The Talmud Torah keneged kulam. And Talmud Torah is bigger than all of them. Talmud Torah. I'm sitting down now reading. Where's the chesed? Where's that? Which one of these doesn't belong? Talmud Torah, that's not chesed. Talmud Torah is educational. Says the Mefarshim that the greatest chesed that you can do is Talmud Torah, because you're bringing the Shefa down. You're bringing the Shefa down in such a voltage, not only to yourself. That means the people in the street today in Brooklyn are better off because we're studying Torah over here. We are sure better off, because the closer you are to the light, the more energy you get. The kedusha that our neshamot get after a shi'ud, we're flying, we're very high. But even the people that are outside, they benefit as well. And this is what David HaMelech said. Shetunim bebet Adonai, behasrot Eloheinu yafrichu. Shetunim bebet Adonai. The people are sitting in the house of God. This is Bet Adonai. This is the house of God. We are sitting in the house of God. Who benefits? Behasrot Eloheinu yafrichu. What's Hatzrot? The Hatzer. What's the Hatzer? The courtyard. What do you mean? We're sitting in here. How are they benefiting? Because we brought in a tremendous amount of Kiddusha with the Shi'ud. Now all of a sudden the Kiddusha is all over the place. All of a sudden the Satan Barminan's going down to make Hatz Shalom an accident. Borei Olam says, come back, come back. He doesn't even have to tell him to come back. He comes down and says, whoa, what's this Kiddusha over here? What's going on? Oh, he runs back. Borei Olam says, what happened? I don't know. I couldn't execute today. Why couldn't you execute? There was extra. Somebody did a good deed. Somebody did a mitzvah. But not did a mitzvah. You have to connect. Mitzvah is yudke vavke. Matzvah. And the two ways you connect is b'machshava and b'maaseh. You need to do both. Ze shemi ve zichri. But especially when we're doing mitzvot, doing bina mitzarim, that was the whole reason why it was destroyed. They didn't understand this secret of Yisrael, the kuchaberichu, the oraita. They didn't know how to make the bekut. I'm sorry to tell you, we can have 10,000 boys learning in the yeshiva, but the question we have to ask is: the Torah getting you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu? You can know every answer and all the Tosafot and the thumbs this way and the thumbs that way, but the Torah has to make you closer to Hashem. If you don't have this concept of the Bekut, then you're missing out. Like Rabbi Haskel Abramsky said, he says, he feels it like this. And once you start feeling like this, you'll jump on the roof. You'll jump on the roof on a freezing cold day. The Gaon Mevilna once said, he had a brother, the Gaon, his name was Rabbi Zalman. One time a book fell behind the shelf. The shelf is 1,000 pounds. Rabbi Zalman wasn't a big guy. He went like a Gibor Hayil. He lifted the whole bookshelf, then he moved it, and he got the book. He said, wow, wow, where'd you get the strength from? You know what the answer is? Lehavdil. If somebody's addicted to cigarettes, and the cigarette falls behind the dresser, and it's the only cigarette left, my word of honor, he'll move it. He'll move it. Because he knows he needs this addiction. to the great Sadiqim, the Torah is connecting to Divrei Elohim Hayim. If it was just reading Hiddushim, you don't have that strength. But if you know that behind the wall is oxygen, and that's the last oxygen take in the world, you'll move it with your pinky, you'll be able to move the bookshelf, because you know the value of it. And that's what the Pasuk says, Ve'atem debekim b'Adonai Elohim, Hayim kolechem ayom. Those that study Torah mitzvot with the intention to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hayim kolechem, this brings you life, not Hayim of the goof, but Hayim of the neshama. Now we have some secrets, and the more you do this, the more orot will come into your neshama. And once the orot start to come into the neshama, you see the tzaddikim, their face is shining. Not from the physical body, not because they're using cream and stuff like that. The shine is coming from the neshama. Chokhmat Adam ta'ir panav. The wisdom of a person brings or. It doesn't happen overnight. And I want to make something else clear. Somebody will say, yeah, but that's only if you're studying Kabbalah. Even if you say, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, it doesn't matter what you're learning. Even if you're reading Tehillim, even if you're reading Chumash with English interpret, simple, it doesn't have to be Gemara necessarily. Of course, the deeper the study, the more energy comes down. But you shouldn't think that when you're sitting on the couch and you're reading in the newspaper the Divrei Torah, no, the rabbi wasn't talking about that. Of course I'm talking about that. Even at that moment, the neshama connects to the Or Elyon and the Shefa comes down. And if we can make this tikkun, then already we have tikkun bin ha-mitzarim. And once we have tikkun bin ha-mitzarim, these 21 days are actually hinted by God Almighty when He took us out of Egypt. God told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, go tell the people I'm taking them out. So God said, they're going to ask me your name. What's the name? What should I tell them? Tell them, Ehye Asher Ehye. That's one of God's names, Ehye. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, two names? No, tell them, just like I'll be with them in this exile, Ehye, I will be with them in the final exile as well. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Dayala Sarah B'Shata, I don't want to tell them about the next exile. Let's get out of this mess. If I go tell them, listen, Rabotai, the God that's going to save you from Egypt, it's the same God that's going to save you from the exile of 2,000 years. Oh, there's another exile? They're going to get depressed. Somebody else, okay, fine. Don't tell them about the second Ehyeh. Just tell them about the first Ehyeh. Then when we get out of Egypt, they'll see it for themselves. Now we are in the second Ehyeh. That's the final Ehyeh of the Galut of Edom that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Dayal Tzara Mishata. Let them experience it when they get to it. Let's not spoil it for them. The numerical value of Ehyeh is how much? Ehyeh is 21. Ehyeh is 21. Borei Olam was saying, there's going to be another exile, that for thousands of years there's going to be 21 days. But Be'azat Hashem, the great Shem of Ehyeh, is going to come and take those 21 days, which is the same gematria, and Be'azat Hashem is going to reverse it. And then it's going to be fulfilled on us. Not only the Pesukim of the Prophet that talk about the coming of Eliyahu Navi, but will be fulfilled the Pesuk. Uba l'siyon goel, ubiyamenu ubimechem, Yisrael yishkon labetach. The Jewish people will have security. And be'azat Hashem, we will be redeemed by the two Mashiachim, Mashiach ben Yosef, that we have to pray for his safety, like we pray in the Amidah, and then with Mashiach ben David, Yavo v'yigalenu, and that will be fulfilled, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, but it's in our hands, and the hands is the Kavanah to bring the, we're doing the mitzvot anyway, so why not do it in the optimum fashion, Yiratzon sh'nizkeh, dechol ha'orot ha'kedushim, שיעיר וינסוץ לשמותינו הקדושים, אמן כן יהי רצון.